Interesting. And if to be frank, if you go to the States now, I have been dealing with some Muslim organizations. It's as if they are succeeding because you get what you are saying about lack of confidence, fear that we can't speak. We can't speak about, very international issues, for example. Don't speak about Palestine. Don't speak about the relationship between Israeli and Palestinian. Don't speak about, terrorism. Don't speak about, being, involved in the society. Even I saw and I met Muslim leaders being scared of talking about what is happening in American jails, in
Right.
American, and even about Guantanamo. Yes, that's true. He promised that he was going to end. So we have now American non-Muslim citizens, much more courageous than Muslims there. It's as if we are in a state of, paralyzed by the atmosphere. So are they succeeding?
I think they are in a certain sense. I think there's a big difference between the old generation Muslim and the young generation Muslim. The old generation Muslim are largely immigrants into America who, like in many parts of the Western world, did not feel completely settled. Okay? The idea of being a Muslim living in the land of the kuffar, so to speak, and so forth. The fact that, life there made it so difficult to practice their own cultural practices and their deen and so forth, led to a certain level of alienation from the society in which they live. Also because of the intention for them going there. It was largely economic, And so you would find with that type of psychological orientation, they would want to really tiptoe in society, you see. The young generation is different. The young generation are born in America, so they can be expelled, they can be deported,
They're at home quite
They
there, yeah.
take they take seriously their rights to speak out and so forth. And I think that their voice will win out in the end. The old people are much more conservative, and if you notice socially, they're the ones who are trying to rein in the young people. They're telling the young people, don't grow that beard too long, and maybe it mightn't be a bad idea if you don't wear hijab to go to school and so forth, because they don't want to rock the boat. But the young generation, I think, will take this particular issue on and should be able to weather the storm properly.
You are talking about the generation gap and the generation difference, and I think that this is fair. And we can see this. We can see people, yet, if we go to some universities and we can see the students, the students of the 60s were very, very assertive and much more, vocal about some of the issues. We have some, but there is no trend that we can see the young people. There is another thing that I wanted to ask you about, which is I would have expected the African American Muslims to be much more involved in the discussion because they don't have to be scared because they are Americans and they can speak. And they said this. I met so many saying, the problem that we have with the migrant and the people who are buying the American dream, they are not coming from the inner cities. They don't know what it means to be an American and a black American because there is a problem with blackness in this country and there is a very old tradition of racism,
Right.
as you are saying. So you would expect them to be vocal about this and to say, look, there is a problem here in the way you treat your own citizens, you treat Muslims, and then you treat people being in jail, and there is a plain injustice. And still, I have the feeling that some of the leaders, as opposed to the very old icon Malcolm X, Malik Shabazz, are less vocal, much more accepting what is happening. Is this a
Well, I
wrong
think
sentiment?
what happened was by the mid-70s and early 80s, the influx of Muslim immigrants was very, very high in the United States. In their encounter with an indigenous self-grown Islam among the African-American population that was strongly identified with the movement for social reform, even revolution, and the cry for justice and so on, and was quite successful as becoming an American religion. Islam was on its way to becoming an American religion. The new generation came in with these different ideas. Okay, this new generation of immigrants came in with the ideas of, again, as I mentioned to you, maximizing social gains, you know, maintaining the home culture, okay, which was mixed up with Islam. So basically you had Islamic centers that were really cultural centers as well as Islamic centers.
True.
And also they were telling these American homegrown Muslims that we are more Muslim than you. We know Arabic, we know the Quran, we know fiqh, we know this and that. And the African-American Muslims said, okay, you know, you take over, you see. And what you find is Islam now retreated from being on the front line to changing American society and became much more focused on foreign policy, foreign politics, you know, Palestine and so on. Now that was wrong, but the problem is they did not try to tie that in with what was going on in America at the time. You know, so for example, in the 60s and 70s, they were talking about the first, second, third, and fourth worlds. And the fourth world was really the third world in the United States of America, you see? And so you had people like Malcolm X making these connections. And so you found like what happened was a certain type of alienation between the indigenous domestic Muslims and this external import. And I think this
that's completely true. But why don't we have people from the indigenous, the African-American Muslims, being more vocal about what is happening today with monitoring, stigmatizing, and putting people in jail with nothing against them?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, after 9/11, one African-American Muslim, when he looked at the persecution of non-African American Muslims, right, who he experienced some segregation and so on with them. He said, you know, we are glad now they realize that they are just as black as us.
Okay, which is could be the
he didn't say black, he used the N-word, so that was even more whatever. Yes. So what they were saying is, look, what is happening to us is now happening to you, you know? And so they're waiting, basically, for this recognition to take place, for that type of partnership to
So this brings me to my next question, which is what should be done in order to face this, to go beyond this, and to change the situation in the United States of America, knowing that in the UK, in France, in all the Western countries, by the way, monitoring is just much more the rule than the exception, that the people are, you know, communities are infiltrated. So if we talk about the United States, and we are talking about, you know, now they experience what we experienced in the 60s, in the 70s, now they get to this, what should be done to change this situation?
I think a number of things. I think one of the first things that has to be changed is a change in attitude among the Muslim population as a group of people who are not estranged from their fellow non-Muslim neighbor, okay? There's a certain type of separation that the Muslim community has with the non-Muslims, you see? And I think this makes it more likely for public support or public, non-involvement with the actions of the state with respect to Muslims. Muslims need to make much more outreach, and especially as Muslims, standing up for people's rights and so forth.
Beyond the Muslim communities.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, a good example was in 9/11, where a lot of Muslims were being attacked or harassed, let's say, in the suburbs. Okay, it wasn't happening in the ghetto. It wasn't happening in the inner city because Muslims were already associated with supporting and standing up for the rights of everybody in the inner city, you see. And I think this is one of the things that needs to be done. I think we need a certain passing of the guard. You know, it is a generational approach, you know, that some of the older generations will move on and the younger generation takes its place and it will be much more active. I think Muslims need to, for example, also explore things like mass action. You know, for example, in places like New York City, where there's so much oppression of Muslims, why cannot Muslims, for example, take to the streets in an organized march to call for action like this? Why can't Muslims, for example, organize themselves politically, you know, in terms of influencing the vote for city politics, for example, and district politics and so on? These are things that Muslims need to do. But I think the first thing that Muslims need to have is really a sense of a civic identification. You know, you are no longer a foreigner. You are an American. And therefore, as an American, you demand all the rights of Americans. I think the Muslim community, for example, needs to be in touch with the history of America. You know, that they should take a page out of the civil rights movement and know exactly where this type of action is coming historically.
Thank you so much. I think we talked about the situation in the States today, how bad it is, and at the same time, looking at the history. There are objective reasons, but as you were saying, there are other reasons that are not said, which is the presence of the Muslims, the way they were settling down, they were now getting more assertive with the environment, and things have changed. But if today we don't have enough leaders or this leadership calling for action and being assertive and going beyond this fear that is everywhere on both sides, so to speak, the migrants that have been there for decades, but also the African Americans. And we need this leadership to come together and to understand that this is a common struggle for the future. And by the way, not only for the Muslims, it's for the future of the United States of America. And this is why your last point, it's important to go beyond the community, to work with other American citizens and to come together with the sense that we belong to the country, and resisting oppressions, resisting stigmatization and racism, this will be the future for the United States of America. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam and Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our program. So get in touch with us. You can also share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam and Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Ahmad Hanif. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.